Good morning, Jesus. I'm going to talk about the Gatha of Repentance today. It's something that we do every week, and how many people really know what that Gatha is about? Reduced to its most simple, it's about separation, suffering, and being responsible. So I'm going to break it down into a few different, three different parts. And just to start it off, I'm just going to say it again. All the evil karma ever created by me of old, on account of my beginningless greed, hatred, and ignorance, I repent of it now. So the first part I'm going to deal with is all the evil karma ever created by me of old. Now, you know, the word karma is tricky for folks. It has a lot of different meanings depending upon which religion, etc. But the way that I understand it, it would be in a very simple way, this is like this because that was like that. And because this is like this, that will be like that. So what that means is, right, if this is like this, because this was like that, and because tomorrow will be like that, because this is like this, really what we're saying is that past, present, and future all exist in this present moment. Right? I mean, one way to look at it is the past is over and the future is yet to come. So there's just this moment. But this present moment is a product of what has happened in the past. And the next present moment will happen because of what has taken place in this present moment. So it's really all together. And it's also a different sense of time, which is a whole other huge subject, but I won't get into. So it says, all the evil karma. And, you know, evil is another one. The way I relate to it is, having been raised as a Christian, it's one of those things that I associate with the minister with Bible in one hand, railing about how evil we can be. But evil, evil karma, evil means to me living in separation of things. And so evil karma is what happens to this present moment if it was preceded by actions that were committed from a place of separation. And what evil will happen tomorrow? And the evil that will happen tomorrow, if we want to call it evil, or the separation that will happen tomorrow, is because of what has taken place here. And then the last part of this is, by me of old. So this is talking about, when it says, of old, it means that this living separation is beginningless. Being alive, there's going to be separation and suffering. And it goes all the way back to of old, right? All the way back to a time when nobody even remembers anymore. So it's beginningless. So the second part of this is, on account of my beginningless greed, hatred, and ignorance. And so greed, hatred, and ignorance are states of being which are caused by our living a life of separation. And by living a life of separation, we become selfish and self-centered. If we're separated from the whole, then it's all about us, right? And when there is separation in the world, then there is no whole. The world is not whole. It's made up of separate parts. And again, that separation that every man or woman for themselves creates suffering. Now here's the tricky part. We chant it, I repent of it now. But many Zendos say, I atone for it now. And I actually prefer atone and going to impose my will as a separate being, that we start using the word atonement in place of repentant. if the definition of repentance is a sincere regret or remorse, but that's very passive. So I regret what I have done. But that's not taking responsibility, right? I think that in the end of this chant, it's talking about taking responsibility for the suffering that we have caused because we live in separation. And so atonement, which by the way can be looked at as one-ment, atonement is reparation for an injury or a wrong, for injury or suffering that I have caused. And this atonement is active, it's not passive. It requires doing something, making reparations in some way for the harm that I have created by my actions. And so atonement takes place on two levels. And the first is to make things right. And make things right toward individuals, taking responsibility for ourselves and our actions. And the second means to take responsibility for all suffering, for the suffering of everyone, because the suffering of everyone is my suffering. If we realize that the world is whole, we don't suffer in isolation. It belongs to us all. So, if prejudice exists, it's not only the person who has been prejudiced against that suffers. We all suffer. We all suffer when prejudice exists. We all suffer when misogyny exists. We all suffer when the environment is degraded. That suffering belongs to all of us. So if I do something that's misogynistic, it doesn't just happen on the individual level. In doing that, I am creating suffering for all beings because they're not separate. So the first part is their suffering, and we contribute to that suffering individually and collectively. And that suffering is created by our living a life of separation. And then the last part, which is extremely important, is, as I mentioned, atonement. So how do we atone? You know, what does that mean? We know what it means, I think, a little bit, but how do we do it? So I thought about it, and I just came up with four suggestions about how we can atone for our living a life of separation and the harm that that causes. So the first one is that I think it's necessary to create a foundation that reveals the wholeness of our lives, right? And one way to do that is sitting here. The more we sit, the more we feel akin to everything around us, to everyone around us. And that's sort of the place to start, you know, where we have a practice that teaches us, that makes us aware of how separate we are, and makes us aware that's an illusion, that underneath that idea that we're just individuals is truly a wholeness of everything. It also helps us see, having this kind of foundation, that the suffering of one person is the suffering for all of us. And this suffering, it's like throwing a pebble into a pond. It goes out from there. So if you think of the recent, I think it was in Texas, the recent murder in a church, it begins with the suffering of an individual that was harmed, right, that was wounded. And then that suffering becomes the suffering of everybody in that parish for what has happened, including the people that have died, the people that are suffering because they've been wounded in some way, the family members who have lost somebody, and everybody who suffers from the shock and the trauma of that situation. But it doesn't just stay with the family and with the parish. This event, this trauma, again, it keeps going out, and it causes suffering for the community. The community can't disconnect from such a horrible event, right? It affects everybody in that town, in that community. But it doesn't stop there. It has reverberations in the state of Texas that this could happen, and all the different things that that provokes in people that live in that state. But it doesn't stop there. It goes out into the country itself. This situation is published and brought up in media. And so it affects anybody who picks up a newspaper, anybody who turns on a television, or anybody who knows somebody. We are affected, even though we're 1,000 miles away. What happened there affects us, and on some level causes suffering for us. So that's individual suffering and collective suffering happening at the same time. So again, if we're going to atone, we have to realize the wholeness of life, and that what happens here affects everything else. And so the practice helps us realize that, helps us see that as more than an intellectual concept, but an actual experience. So the second one is to acknowledge that life is suffering, and that we create and contribute to that suffering. And that happens when we lose touch of this wholeness, and we move in the world in a very selfish, self-centered way. So a practice that diminishes suffering, I mean, it's a practice that diminishes separation, is a way of helping ourselves to be less selfish. So a foundation for wholeness, an acknowledgement of suffering and our part in it. And then the third to me would be to take responsibility for the suffering that we have caused. Responsibility is a big part of here, you know. That person over there offended the other person over there. But they're me. You know, I don't get off the hook because it's between those two people. That's happening as part of me. And I love this so much, and I use it all the time. But if you consider this Carl, right, this is one body. And so my hand is suffering because it was burned. Well, this hand doesn't stay over there and say, well, that's too bad. This hand acts. It acts with compassion and goes over here and does what it can for this hand. And that's because this is the metaphor, the whole body of wholeness. So if we're clear, if we have a sense of this wholeness, when this part suffers, we have no choice but to act. And so the last part, which comes from the Zen Peacemaker Order, is to take compassionate action. But compassionate action serves the best when it's taken from a place of connection, not a place of separation. This hand can say, oh boy, that's really terrible. That must have really hurt that you got burned in that fire. Oh, that's terrible. But a compassionate act is to go over here and take care of it as best you can. And so the Zen Peacemakers, I've mentioned this many times before, but there are three vows that you take. One is to not know. The second is to bear witness. And the third is compassionate action. So we don't enter into the situation. We don't enter into suffering thinking we know everything. We drop all of what we think we know about the suffering that arises in a particular situation. And from that place of not knowing, we bear witness, right? We become that situation, right? So this hand and this hand. This hand is this hand. Becomes, it bears witness to this hand. And then out of that, this hand doesn't get involved with knowing that this hand is burned. It doesn't know. It bears witness, though. It sees, it becomes this other hand because it's one body. And then it takes compassionate action. So as a final reminder for all of us is to remember that the person who does harm is the same person that is harmed. So this gatha that we chant is actually very powerful. I think what happens is over time it's just something that we do as part of the ceremony. But I hope that these few words encourage you to appreciate the depth of the gatha of repentance and the responsibility that we all have in taking responsibility for any harm that we have done, both collectively and individually. And so that's part of this practice, part of the work of sitting, is to take responsibility for our actions. And to see that they cause suffering for ourselves and for others. Thank you.